This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman on your Friday. The weekend is finally here, ladies and gentlemen. We made it, and it's a holiday weekend. Good Friday today, and then the Easter weekend ahead of us, and the weather could not be more perfect for our Easter Sunday. Joining me in studio, a rare treat, I didn't know you were coming up, is Chef Kevin Belton. Hey, Chef, how you doing?
I am doing great.
I love that you wore your WWL TV outfit up here, your uniform, as it were.
I guess so. I might have to get a WWL radio hat like you have.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can get you one before you leave. It took me 20 years to get this.
I totally understand.
I finally got one. I was like, where are those hats? How come I don't have one? I've been here 22 years, and I just got this a couple years ago. So you'll probably get one today because, well, you know, you're the chef. We asked Chef Belton to come on up and come on over from WWL TV because we were talking, as we were planning the show, about our eating holidays. And we all know all the specialties that we have for Christmas that are so uniquely New Orleans. For Thanksgiving, so many uniquely New Orleans meals. And I got to thinking, is there a uniquely New Orleans Easter tradition? Is there something that across the board people in New Orleans want to eat for Easter? And I honestly didn't know. And I said, well, let's get Chef Kevin in here because he'll know. And I think what we've been finding just from the little bit of feedback I've gotten from the listeners so far is there's a lot of family traditions that families eat the same things year in and year out for Easter. But it's not as universal as maybe Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Well, you know what? I think it's the same dishes we have at Christmas and Thanksgiving minus the turkey.
Yeah, I only want turkey at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want turkey any other time of the year.
But this is the time of season for the ham.
Ah.
That big old ham comes out that's scored and has the cloves poked in it and it has the pineapple and the cherries on it. So this is the big ham time, I think.
Big ham time. Is that true for your family? Text us at 870-870. You can call us at 504-260-1870. If you have any questions about preparing that Easter meal or you want any tips from Chef Kevin Belton, he is here, and now is your opportunity to get those tips. Is that what y'all do at your family? Is it a big ham for Easter?
No, I go out.
Ah, you know, Easter is an increasingly popular holiday to eat out.
I hate to say that, but I don't cook at home. Monica, the wife, does all the cooking. I prepared dinner 2 months ago. I
said, that was the last time you cooked at home?
I said, I'll be right back. I went to the kitchen, came back about 15 minutes later. She said, I made dinner for you. She's like, am I dying? Because that's how often I cook at home.
What did you cook in 15 minutes?
I don't remember. I probably sautéed some fish.
All right.
Piece of fish. Yeah, you don't have to overcook
it. So wait a minute. You're this celebrated chef. You are this fantastically talented man who feeds the most amazing, tasty, wonderful dishes. But at home,
hot dog.
Throw a hot dog in the microwave? What? That's all we get out of you at home?
It pretty much.
Wow. Right.
Now the truth is
out. How long have you been married?
December. We had a surprise wedding in December.
You just got married in December.
Well, but even before that, I never cooked at home.
Well, maybe you got to start cooking at home a little more.
But I had to tell her. I said,
happy wife, happy life, big guy.
Yeah, but that's why I keep her happy. As long as she has Diet Coke, everything is all good.
That's all. My wife is Dr. Pepper. As long as there's Dr. Pepper in the house, everybody's happy.
And you have it in every size possible.
Oh, yeah. We got 2 liters. We got bottles. We got cans.
Exactly. Same thing. But you know what I think what's great about Easter?
What's that?
There are always certain dishes. Like you said, families always make. And I think this is the time, because we don't take advantage of it. Everybody's running around for Thanksgiving and Christmas. But this is the time we need to sit down and watch some of the relatives make these dishes so we can write them down and save them.
You know, the art of the handed down recipe book is getting lost. And it's sad because your grandmothers, your great-grandmothers, your aunties, whoever's recipes, if no one's compiling those anymore.
That's it.
Now that we're a digital society, I guess we have to start saving them in our smartphones and putting them in the cloud so they'll be there forever. But my mother-in-law, not long ago actually, did put together a recipe book. And it is so wonderful because my kids will say, hey, we want Aunt Nanny's casserole. Hey, we want Mama's this. We want, and we can go right to that recipe book and make it. But very few families, I think, do that anymore.
No, no. I still can't make my grandmother's spinach. My sons are in their 30s. And they'll go, hey, can you make grandma's spinach? And I try, and they're like, oh, this is close, but it's not it.
Is grandma no longer with us?
No.
So there's no way you'll ever recreate what they remember as children at grandma's eating because no one ever took the time to write it down. And she didn't write it down because she knew how to make it.
And, you know, I watched her make it, but at the time, I didn't think to write it down. And even if you don't have the exact amount, at least you have the ingredients that go into a dish. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best thing that people can do is pass down the family recipes.
Yeah, because if you miss one ingredient in most dishes, it changes everything.
That's
true. If there's one thing you didn't know that Mama threw in there, and you just, why does it never taste the same? It's like we had that happen in my house a generation ago. I remember my mom used to make, I don't even remember whose it was, but it was one of her relatives' cheesecakes. And it was so good. And it was my, you know, it was the bar setting of cheesecakes. And I loved it so dearly. But she never had the recipe. And she tried and tried for years to recreate it and never could do it. And then she finally gave up. So that cheesecake that we had when I was a child, I've never had since. I love me a Creole cream cheesecake, but it's still not that cheesecake.
And it's probably something so simple that was added to it.
I don't know, yeah. And we experimented. We tried everything and tried hundreds of different cheesecake recipes, but they were never just right. We got folks calling in, want to talk to you. So let's go right to the phones. Hey, Norman, thanks for calling. You're on WWL with Chef Kev.
Hey, good morning. How are you all this morning? Happy Easter to you all.
And to you, too.
There's a couple of things. One of the staples at my house for Easter is my wife does it, and she only does it maybe once a year, is crawfish bits. I mean, those things, I mean, it takes so much work, so that's the reason why I think that is. And secondly, my mother used to do a corn pudding. No one can do it except one other place, and that was the barbecue place on St. Charles and Melford Main.
Do you have, Norman, do you have the recipe? Is that why no one else can do it, is because you don't have the recipe, or is it just because?
No, we have the recipe. My sister's tried it, my wife's tried it, everyone has tried it, and no one can duplicate what my mother did with that corn pudding, with the exception of that one place, and I actually go there and buy a pan of it.
Well, as long as they're still open, let them do it.
Oh, yeah. You can bet, and I get it, too. But have a great Easter.
So you have crawfish bisque and corn pudding. That's your Easter with your family, huh?
Yes.
Hey, Norman, I tell you what, since it takes so much time to make that crawfish bisque because the stuffing that goes in the heads,
right.
If you make a lot of that stuffing, go ahead, mark it, put it in the freezer, and you'll have it easy for 6 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then it holds up well in being frozen and defrosted?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'll tell the boss.
Yeah, that's the wife, huh?
we know who the boss is.
Well, Norman, so instead of double the recipe and maybe even offer to help out, and then y'all make a whole bunch of it and then freeze it, and you can have it throughout the year.
That's why you're pushing it. You want me to help out. You want me to help out. You really want to ruin the meal now.
That's where we drew the line, huh? Norman ain't helping out. See, that's why we got Chef Kevin Belton here, is because he thinks of these things. 504-260-1870. Text messages coming in at 870-870. You mentioned the ham. One person texted and said, I like big hams, and I cannot lie. Jenny, thanks for calling. You're on WWL.
Hi. I'm from the Midwest, and I moved here though in 1979, but
so now you're from here now, Jenny.
Yeah, I know, but I can't do all the wonderful foods they do down here. I wasn't taught that. But our tradition was on Saturday we would have, my mother made oyster stew, even though we were from the Midwest, with the oyster crackers, and then on Sunday we had a ham, and then she did an ambrosia salad, and she did an awesome light cheesecake.
Ooh.
And do you still have that to this day, or is that something you just remember and miss?
No, I can make everything but the cheesecake because it calls for a kind of evaporated milk called Milnut, and I can't find it down here.
Have you tried the internet?
Home, I have to buy some, right?
Come on, you can get anything online these days. Well,
yeah.
All right, well, Jenny, that sounds... That sounds like a great meal. But find that milk on the online, and then you can complete it and have the cheesecake.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Thanks for calling. Have a wonderful Easter. All right,
Happy
coming
Easter.
Up next, we have a guest who wants to call in. Says an old friend of yours wants to say hi. We'll see who that is.
Oh, goodness. The IRS!
No. That wouldn't be your old friend now, would it? We'll see who that is after this, who wants to say hey to Chef Kev here on WWL. But if you've got any questions, we also want to hear your comments. What do you eat on Easter? And do you eat the same thing year in and year out as a family? And is it similar to your Thanksgiving and your Christmas meals? And more people are eating out for Easter. Where are you going if you're eating out for Easter? We'll find out where Chef Kev's going to eat out coming up next here on WWL. 12:23, Dave Cohen in for Newell Normand on this Good Friday. Thanks for joining us here on WWL. Chef Kevin Belton's in studio with us.
Hello.
And we're trying to determine, is there a traditional New Orleans Easter meal?
Probably. You know, I said ham earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Probably crawfish.
Yeah, definitely on Good Friday for sure, yeah. But people boil all weekend.
Crawfish, ham, and I don't know what you need after that.
Crawfish is going about $3.50 a pound right now, live.
You know, that's something that Louisianans, we don't care.
It's Easter, we'll pay whatever they're going to charge
exactly.
us. Huh? I found a few people who are finding it for as low as $2.34 was the lowest anyone texted us at 870-870. We have a guest who wants to say hello. You're on WWL, Mystery Man. Let's see if he can identify you from your voice. Talk to Chef Kev a little bit.
Hey, Boo.
Okay.
A little more.
It's been such a long time, you don't even remember the hellos that we used to have. Kevin used to actually come over to my house when I had my three little boys, and I have pictures of him being an offensive tackle from San Diego Chargers, and my three little boys look like little midgets against him. This is Chef Alex.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What are you doing?
I'm retired. I'm doing private parties throughout the country, having a great life. I heard you on the air, and I just had to wish you a happy Easter.
A matter of fact, I bumped into little Alex not too long ago, doing well. And I'm so happy to talk to you.
So where did you guys work together?
We didn't work together. I had my own restaurant on Rawl Street.
And I used to go in to eat.
Yes, and Kevin worked at New Orleans School of Cooking and with Joe Kahn, and we were just all one family.
Exactly. So you're traveling around the country now.
Yeah, in fact, I'm packing up right now to go to Mississippi to do a crawfish etouffee at Passe Christian. I just got finished doing a 3-day stint at Avery Island 2 days ago.
Now, you know, Dave and I will be available if you need some assistance and help.
If you need us to come on over to Passe Christian and taste test for you or something as you're making that meal.
I always can use people with true taste. Give me some input, because no matter how long we cook, we always can learn something.
All right. You're taking a book out of Joe Kahn's book. You're taking a page out of Joe Kahn's book and taking your show on the road, huh?
Well, here's one thing I can pass to y'all on crawfish bisque that I've learned that I think really makes a difference. You got the crawfish gumbo, we all know. We got the stuffed heads, and the stuffed heads goes into the gumbo, and it transfers to crawfish bisque. Well, one concept which also really adds to it is take some of that wonderful crawfish dressing and literally put it into the gumbo as an additive.
Ooh.
And it really makes a difference.
Ooh.
I'm down with that.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Now,
Norman could
do
that called earlier. Norman should save some of that we talked about making ahead of time and put it in his gumbo.
Put it right into the gumbo to really help what I call creaminess to the bisque. We're not talking about cream. We're just talking about the essence of the crawfish dressing. In Cajun country, for Easter, is cochon de lait. We always have ball crawfish.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Good Friday. But for Easter Sunday, we always have a pig roast.
All right. So that's in New Iberia. That's where you're from, huh?
That's where I'm from.
All right. We do the pig roast, the cochon de lait. You actually bury that pig in the ground and you...
No. That's called a Cajun microwave oven. That's not a cochon de lait.
Oh, that's not, huh?
They have a name for those things. They call them Cajun microwaves, but it's a cochina, la cochina, I think, in Spanish.
Yeah, that's what they do in Mexico. You see, you need a relationship between the fire and the smoke and the pig. If you bury it in the ground, all you're doing is baking it.
Yeah, well, and couchon de lait actually means like milk, so they're baking it so long it almost liquefies.
Well, it's a suckling pig is what the couchon de lait stands. But basically, you want a barbecue pig, and you want a nice pig, and you got to have the barbecue smoke, wood, flavor all penetrating through it.
So you put it on really a spit, and you're going round and round and round, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, my.
All right, so that's New Iberia. When you worked here in New Orleans, did you find there's a traditional New Orleans Easter meal?
Honestly, no. There was not one thing that stuck out in my mind. A lot of people did Sunday brunch for Easter. And that's, I think, really what the hotel
is. That's how you can go show off that Easter bonnet. Yeah, so everyone sees you in your Easter bonnet. Chef Alex, we appreciate the call here on WWL.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, meeting up with old friends here on the radio. Take it easy, Chef Alex. We'll see you over in Pas Christiane. What did he say he's making over there?
Crawfish. Is it the crawfish bisque?
Etouffee.
Crawfish etouffee.
All right. Someone texted us about the crawfish bisque, and they say to speed up making crawfish bisque, use a pastry bag to fill the heads. It takes half the time as stuffing them by hand. What do you think about that?
Oh, no, that works great. But, you know, it was something about sitting at that table visiting, and I think that's part of it is we've gotten away from the table so much. And I always talk about finding things to do back at the kitchen table because you sit and talk about other things.
So you're all for
it's a little labor
put everyone
intensive.
Around the table and everybody help out stuffing the crawfish heads with
but
the
you know that piping bag is great. Yeah, that's a great idea.
504-260-1870. You want to say hello to Chef Kev. You got a question or a comment? Share it with us. What are you eating this weekend for Good Friday? What are you eating tomorrow? What are you eating on Easter Sunday? We want to hear from you here at WWL. You said you're going out.
I'm going out.
Where are you eating on Sunday?
I was supposed to make a reservation months ago and totally forgot. Kept forgetting.
Your wife told you way ahead of time, hey, make that reservation.
Of course. And I didn't. I forgot. All right. And she reminded me one more time. And then, so we ended up, I'm going to Tommy's Cuisine.
All right. Right here on Chapatulas?
Yeah, right on Chapatulas. Looking forward to it.
Any idea what you want to eat?
No.
Not yet. Got to look at the menu.
Yes.
All right. 504-260-1870. What are you doing for Easter Sunday? Where are you eating? What you eating? Do you do the Sunday brunch? I think a lot of people love to put on those crazy hats, the bonnets, dress to the nines and go out, and it's kind of a big social event.
And how many times do you go back to the buffet?
You know, I had to explain to my little brother once. You know, he said, well, it's all you can eat, so I have to eat all I can. I said, well, how about we just call it all you care to eat? Because, and I'm in that number too, I have a tendency of overeating. And then, you know, you eat too much, even if it's so good, that you regret it afterwards and you pay for it for hours and hours and you're like,
you do.
And it ruins a good meal because you feel like crap afterwards. We'll continue the conversation with Chef Kev. Take your calls at 504-260-1870. Lisa, you're up next and more of your texts at 870-870 after the news. It's 1236 in for Newell Normand on this Friday. Happy Friday to you and yours. And here we are on Good Friday and heading into Easter weekend. Chef Kevin Belton's in studio with us. We were talking about buffets before we went to break. You have a buffet secret?
I think you should walk a buffet without a plate.
Why?
Because that way you don't make quick decisions. Look at everything and then go back and look for hidden food. Chefs like to hide food.
Oh, yeah.
To see if anybody finds it.
All right, give us an example of hidden food on a buffet.
Okay, beautiful melon. Maybe cut into the shape of like a fish and they'll have the melon in it. But if you look at the eye of that melon may be filled with caviar.
So you're digging the caviar out of the fish melon eye.
All you have to do is tell
somebody. But then you have an eyeless fish.
But you just show somebody, isn't this pretty? Then go for it.
So you acknowledge how beautiful it is and then you eat it.
Yeah, the only thing that's not fair game on a buffet is the breads, the shellac breads. Stay away from those.
Because they're not, you can't
eat that. They're shellacked. But anything else, and that's why when you see a chef walking a line at a buffet, there are plenty of people to refill it. He's walking to see if anybody found the hidden food.
So that's actually a game chefs play. They hide food in a buffet.
Yeah, and see if anybody finds it.
All right.
That's like the peeled shrimp. I found peeled shrimp around the platter. on the board of the platter, and everybody's going for the big bowl of peeled shrimp, and they were already peeled around this platter.
So they got shell on shrimp in a big bowl. People are eating them. And you say they peeled some to use as a garnish around the platter to make it look pretty.
And I ate the garnish.
And you ate it.
Yes, so I did.
There goes their pretty platter. But you told them first that it was pretty.
Yes.
All right. Chef Kevin Belton's here from WWL-TV, 504-260-1870. Mike, I hope you took notes on those buffet secrets. What you got for us, buddy?
I just wanted to make a comment on what Chef Kev said earlier about people need to get back around the table. That's how we were raised up also. Everybody was around the table when Mama was cooking, and, you know, it brings back memories.
How often do you think, and he was talking about to prepare the food, but even to eat the food, I think families eat less around the family dinner table now than ever before. Mike, how often did your family get everyone together and eat at the same table?
Well, now it's just me, my wife, and my daughter, but we sit at the table and eat all the time. And it's something I think families need to get back to because, I mean, when we were growing up, it was not only just preparing the food, but that's what was the meeting place every day was around the kitchen table to go over, you know, what was going on in school, what was happening in people's lives, and, you know, I think it's very important.
Yeah, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more.
Family history, family values. You learned how to pay bills at that table. You learned family economics. You learned everything at that table.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you went through good times and bad times around the table.
What y'all eating for Easter, Mike?
We're having some baked salmon today. And we're going to, I think we're going to the country. And I'm not sure exactly what they're cooking.
You're going to be a guest, so you're eating whatever they're serving.
I'm going to be like Chef Kev. I'm going to be looking for the hidden food.
There we go.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate the call. All right, Chef Kev, for people who are preparing Easter meal, give us a couple of quick, maybe easy but wonderful things that you think should be on that menu.
Something, I mean, you know, most recipes I like to do are always simple. Just last Tuesday, well, this past Tuesday, something I did oven roasted carrots where in a little pan, I had a little butter, brown sugar, garlic, little bit of seasoning, and just let that come up to a boil. Threw in some honey into that as well.
Ooh.
And then took the carrots.
So that caramelizes over the carrots.
But I cleaned the carrots, a little olive oil on them, seasoned with a little Creole seasoning, threw them in the pan, and then poured this mixture all over it for a nice honey glazed carrot.
All right. That's a good one. One more.
The other thing is, I love asparagus. And to just take asparagus, a little olive oil, a little salt and pepper, bake that in the oven. But once it roasts off and gets cooked, just drizzle a little balsamic vinegar over it.
Simple, basic. So in the olive oil, but putting the vinegar on after it's done.
After it's baked, just a little drizzle of the balsamic vinegar when you put it on the platter.
All right, there are a couple suggestions from Chef Kev. We'll get some more from him and take some more of your calls at 504-260-1870 and read some of your text messages at 870-870 as we're heading into Easter weekend here on WWL. We're talking about what to eat on Easter. We got Chef Kevin Belton in here from WWL-TV. A lot of people today and all weekend are going to be boiling.
Boiling, yes.
Yeah, boiling crawfish, boiling shrimp, boiling crabs, boiling whatever they can get their hands on. You had a recommendation, though, of something a little different maybe to do when you're having that seafood boil.
I love, before I drop the crawfish in, I'll boil a couple of chickens for about 15, 20 minutes.
Whole chickens, just drop them right in.
Whole chickens, and that way they pick up the flavor from that crab and shrimp boil. You can always cut them to see if they're cooked all the way through, but I've taken them in foil. Take them out, wrap them in foil, roast them in the oven, throw them on a grill to give a little smoky flavor
to them.
After you boil them. But they have that flavor from the crab and shrimp boil.
All right.
And then make chicken salad out of them.
Why do we boil crawfish in crab boil? Why don't they call it crawfish boil?
Because we boil crabs in them, too. And shrimp in them. And you know.
I just always thought that's funny. We need some crab boil to boil the crawfish. Why didn't anyone have crawfish boil?
Somebody should have just said seafood boil.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so how long you got to keep that chicken in the boiling water?
At least 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
I like I'll boil them for 20 minutes. And you will see them, you know, take one of the long forks, pull them out, check them to see if they're cooked, because you can always finish them in the oven. But
the trick
is they have the flavor from that crab and shrimp boil.
And then you can either eat it just like that or you make a chicken salad out of it.
I love to make chicken salad out of it. I also take leftover potatoes and make potato salad out of it.
Oh, yeah. I love me some crab-boiled potatoes. in a, either as mashed potatoes the next day or as a great great potato salad with eggs. And you know, the other thing, we haven't mentioned this, but I have to have deviled eggs on Easter.
You do?
Maybe just because of the whole egg Easter thing, but to me, the meal's not complete on Easter if there aren't deviled eggs.
Now, do you use the eggs that have been dyed, so now the egg has a little color to it?
No, I eat those, though, after the kids do the egg cracking. You know, they hit the eggs against each other to see who's going to survive the longest. I'll say, okay, because they just want to throw them out after them. Like, no, give me that. I'll peel it and eat it. Absolutely. 504-260-1870. Jim, thanks for calling. You're on WWL.
Yeah, I just want to make one suggestion. If people like to go to buffets but want to get more bang for their buck, stay away from carbs.
You know, it's funny. You watch people, they go up, they fill up on salad, first of all.
That's true.
And then they fill up on bread and potatoes and stuff like that. Yeah, to me, you're wasting stomach space. If you're at a buffet and you want to get your money's worth, go for the meats and the seafood.
You know, I tell that to folks that come to visit because of the fact that you can eat lettuce at home, but go for the thing that's a specialty.
There you go. Ben, thanks for calling. You're on WWL with Chef Kev.
Hey, Chef Kev, this is Ben. I just wanted to thank you for what you did over at Ideal when you introduced us to jambalaya.
Oh, you're welcome. I was glad to do it.
You introduced us to jambalaya, and it's been a great hit, but now I want to return the favor. We've introduced, in our crawfish boil, we're doing the Ideal crawfish boil with pineapples and mangoes and jalapenos, and it is incredible.
You're boiling boiling pineapples, mangoes, and jalapenos in there with the crawfish.
Yes. In fact, we're doing a big seafood boil over at Ideal right now. It is fantastic, and we're even throwing crabs in with it right now, some blue crabs, and it's been going like gangbusters. And, you know, you inspired us, Chef Kev. Remember we met over at the Christmas thing?
Yes. I do remember.
And you inspired us to keep trying to blend the New Orleans culture with the Hispanic culture, and it's been a big hit.
Well,
when you leave there today, come over and get yourself about 20 pounds of crawfish on me.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that'll be a nice snack.
25 pounds of crawfish is a snack?
Okay. All right. I won't eat it all by myself.
Yeah, how many crawfish do you eat generally? If you go out and get crawfish or you're boiling them at the house, how many pounds per person do you usually allow for?
You have to at least allow for 5 pounds.
Yeah.
At least 5 pounds. And that's with all the other fillers.
What goes in your crawfish pot?
I love mushrooms, sausage, corn.
That's it.
And garlic.
Potatoes?
Yeah, you can throw some potatoes in.
My wife likes to put a can of corn in.
A can of corn?
Yeah, the whole can. Punch some holes in it and boil it down in there, and then you just spoon it out and eat that. Christian Garrick's on the other side of the glass giving us two thumbs up on that one.
I haven't tried that one. I'm going to have to try that.
But yeah, to me, you got to have the sausage and the mushrooms with the potatoes and the corn.
That's Three Stooges cooking where you put the whole can down in the pot to cook it.
I'm not sure if you just call my wife a stooge or not. We'll settle that after this on WWL. All right, Christian Garrick, WWL Sports Talk host, could not avoid walking in here when I talked about sinking a can of corn into the crawfish boil. He gave that two thumbs up. Now he and Chef Kev have been talking about all the crazy things that you can throw in a crawfish pot. People are texting us at 870-870. We put Hormel canned hot tamales in our crawfish boil, strawberries, shortcake, and ice cream in the crawfish boil? I don't think that works. Grilled pork chops, sausage, chicken breast, chicken thighs, hamburgers, hot dogs. All this stuff going in the crawfish pot.
And then you throw kids in there and bathe them.
Ouch. No, careful. Someone will do that now.
Your wife did the loose corn, the can of corn.
Yeah.
I didn't try it until my mother has dentures, so she couldn't eat the corn on the cob, obviously. So I was like, let me try it. Peel the label off, church key, punch two holes in it. It's awesome. Yeah. I put one in every boil now.
Yeah, my wife just takes a screwdriver and punches a bunch of holes in it.
I'm doing crawfish this weekend. Yeah, pork chops.
Try that.
Pork chops, another good one.
You boil pork chops.
Mm-hmm.
How long you got to boil the pork chops?
Just throw them in. Just throw them in right when you're cooling it. It'll cook.
All right, Chef Kev. What do you? You put anything unusual in there? I'm traditional. I like sausage, mushrooms, potatoes, corn, and crawfish.
No, just every once in a while. You know, if you got like you were saying, sweet potatoes laying around, asparagus laying around, something like that.
I've done Brussels sprouts.
I don't like Brussels sprouts.
I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
In a boil?
You know,
I have had broccoli. I did like that. I haven't done it myself, but I went somebody else.
I don't think this would work, but maybe. You know, I love bacon. I might have to try to throw some bacon in there.
Boil some bacon.
Wouldn't you have to
cook it first, pot.
I think we might have to cook it first, but think about that oil coming out of that bacon as it boils. It'll get in there and flavor
the
crawfish.
That's my, but with sausage, though, that's the only issue that I find is that some people throw the sausage in there too long, and your crawfish come out oily.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's you don't want oily, greasy crawfish, because then your hands are slipping off them when you're trying to peel them.
I'm pretty particular about, like, I got to watch. If I'm not boiling a crawfish and I'm invited to a boil, I got to kind of watch to see what they're doing, because you can mess these things up.
So you're a crawfish snob, is what you're saying.
I am a little bit.
Oh, you can. Of course you can mess them up.
To be honest with you, I really don't go to a lot of boils because I want to boil myself.
People don't do it as well as you do.
Well, they don't do it the way I don't know about well. It's to my liking.
Now, so, have you ever tried to boil with two pots?
Yeah.
I season one pot really good, get that heated up, and let it cool down. But then I'll boil in plain water for 7 minutes, take them out of that plain water, and then put them into the seasoned pot.
That's your soaking pot.
Yeah, and they draw up three times as much liquid because of the fact that going from that hot to cold, they absorb more
liquid. You know a good way to
boil them in just plain water and then drop them in the pot that's already been warmed.
Cooler seasoned liquid. Because some people dump ice in it, but when you put ice in it, it dilutes the flavor.
Yeah, I can tell you how to avoid that, too. Take an empty Coke bottle, fill it with water, 2 liter, freeze it, sink that in there when you want to cool it.
Here's my problem. We boil so much. I mean, if we do it, we have everybody comes over.
Sure.
You know, you don't boil just one sack in my house.
Right.
In my house, it's sack after sack after sack. So I need the pot to do the next round, so I can't soak. So I love your idea. Have a second pot to soak in so you can keep boiling in the other pot.
And I have a pot you can borrow because I bought a pot and I had to hide it in the closet. It's under my clothes in the closet, a big 80-quart pot.
Why did you have to hide it?
I'm married now.
I can't wait to boil this weekend. My
it's
dad's
just too
got
big,
one of those,
huh?
My dad's got one of those like almost industrial cookers. You can do like 3 sacks in it at a time.
Wow. But yeah,
it's gigantic.
So
like, I think it's like 2 sacks at a time.
So he's got 2 or 3 burners on it. So you got
you're
lining up the propane bottles.
It's a pretty sophisticated kind of deal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not your typical 40-80 quart.
Mistakes to avoid at a crawfish boil.
Overcooking them.
How long should the crawfish really stay in there?
They only need to boil for about 7 minutes, then they can soak.
All right, so only in the boiling water for 7 minutes.
Sorry?
To your liking, right? Whatever.
Yeah, to your liking. But if you let them stay in there too long, they just get mushy, they get, they're,
But that's in the boil. As long as they're soaking in the cooler water, they can chill in there.
And if you can, rinse your crawfish. Put them in a deep tub and just let water
run
through. Yeah, let them water run through them as long as you can to kind of clean them out some.
Turkey neck, someone just texted at 870-870.
Yeah.
Throwing that in the crawfish boil.
Yeah, I haven't tried that.
Mm. You haven't tried that? I've tasted turkey necks that have been cooked in it.
I get my dog raw turkey necks.
We cut whole pineapple, says another. Someone else said they just drop a whole pineapple in there. Someone says bacon works great in boil. Fry it first.
Yeah.
Deer sausage in my crawfish pot. Like a spiral ham down in the crawfish pot.
You know what?
Pot.
Maybe we should do a tour. We should go do a crawfish
tasting tour.
Yes.
I get invited a lot of times to do these crawfish contests, these crawfish bowls.
Cook-offs,
yeah. And I got to tell you, for those out there, if I'm ever judging your crawfish and you use way too much oranges, you're not going to win with me.
What about
lemons?
I
think that's a common mistake. I love the lemons, but I think the oranges can be overbearing at times. Lemons.
It makes it super sweet.
Yeah.
Super sweet.
Have y'all seen this new trend? Well, I don't know if it's a trend or not, but a couple places are doing it. I know WWL-TV did a piece on it the other day. There's a place doing crawfish salad where they're putting Italian dressing over the boiled crawfish. So you're peeling the crawfish, the shells and all, you're peeling them with this Italian dressing all over your hands. And we know in the Vietnamese community there's been some very popular dishes where they pour the marinade, for lack of a better word, over the crawfish, and you peel them with that stuff all over your hands.
I haven't heard of
that.
That doesn't sound appealing to me.
You know, a lot of times with a steamed seafood, they always put the season on afterwards, so it gets on your fingers and all. But I want my hands clean. I want to be able to grip.
I will do this. If I go out and get crawfish and they're not spicy enough, I'll ask for some Tony's or some crawfish from crab boil, put that right next to me, and I'll just put it on my fingertips. And I'll keep dipping my fingertips in it, so while I'm peeling, it's getting on the outside of the tail meat.
See, I know these restaurants have great crawfish boils, but I don't. If I want crawfish, I'm doing it myself. That way I don't have anybody to be upset with other than me.
It's a lot of work, though.
Yeah, but I don't want to
But it's
do
worth
it
in the long run.
Yeah, because a lot of restaurants do it so mild because they got to appease so many people. It's not going to be as spicy as I want it.
Chef Kev, thank you for coming up here.
Everybody have a great Easter.
All right. Christian, we'll see you at 4 o'clock right here on WWL Radio. He's heading out to Baton Rouge. He'll be coming to you live from LSU ahead of Game 2 of that series. What an ugly loss for the Tigers last night at the hands of Florida. We'll see if they can recover tonight. I'm Dave Cohen. It's been great sitting in for the last couple of weeks for Newell Norman. I'll be back Monday morning at 5 a.m. Join me then, won't you?
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.